Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.feebly.com.
Never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.
FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found. Good morning, and welcome to FOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David. Good morning, and welcome to FOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Now, we're going to take our first break this morning, and our only break, but we're going to be back with so much more this morning. We're going to be showing from the Word of God and from the testimony of the early Christians that the confession of the Lord is something of the utmost importance. And indeed, I think you'll have to agree, the confession of the church has been lost, and it has been replaced with slimy, satanic slop that's going to take people's souls into perdition that follow these lies. Now, we'll be back with a lot more on
2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come with as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
Praise the Lord, and welcome back this morning to FOJC Radio Church. We really can't say enough how much we love and appreciate each and every one of you listening, because your faith encourages me, and my faith will encourage you. We are encouraged by the faith of one another. We have to strive and fight for that faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We have to ignore this barrage of lies that's coming from the apostate church. Today, people don't know Polycarp. They don't know Ignatius. They don't know Irenaeus or Tertullian. They know Charles Stanley. They know John MacArthur and Joel Osteen. And it's time that these men be heard that were true Christians and true heroes of the faith that lived and died to give us a heritage in the truth. Now, I want to begin this segment by reading from a book called The Martyrdom of Polycarp. And Polycarp was the apostle in the church in Smyrna. He was one of the most famous martyrs because of the way he died with such courage and such a testimony. And you've heard the phrase, play the man. Well, this comes from the words that Polycarp says the Lord said to him as he was being led off to be arrested. He said that the voice came to Polycarp as he was entering the stadium, "Be strong, Polycarp, play the man." And I believe that's what the Lord's saying to us this morning. Be strong, play the man. Man up this morning. Put your big girl britches on. We're in for a ride here, folks, but we're in a fight here that we're going to win. And I've taught, and I will continue to teach, that the remnant of God is going to have the sealing and the supernatural protection of God. But I cannot guarantee anybody that you're not going to die a martyr. We're going to be here and we're going to be a witness until the Lord's done with us. And then it doesn't matter. But it's time to be strong and play the man. And it says here in the Martyrdom of Polycarp that when they took him into the stadium, it says, "Take the oath and I will let you go. Revile Christ." Polycarp replied, "I have served him 86 years, and in no way has he dealt unjustly with me. So how can I blaspheme my King who saved me?" And he died such a heroic death that the soldiers wept that led him away to be martyred. And this courage and this true faith of the true confession has to be regained. This is the confession of Christianity, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we will endure unto the end with our faith in the cross, our faith in the Lord, and the confession with our mouth, and we will not deny him. And Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, hear the word of the Lord this morning. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. If you're faithful unto death, you'll get the crown of life, the martyr's crown. And then we have the warning, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And the early church understood this, that their salvation was in their faith and their confession, and that to deny the Lord was to die lost and enter into a devil's hell. I want to read from a book that was written about the same time as the book of Revelation, or just shortly thereafter. It's called The Shepherd of Hermas. It was written about 100 A.D. And I want to read from chapter 6, the 7th and 8th verse. This is something you're not going to hear today. This was the... You see, we are in line with the Word of God, and we are in line with the early church. And the things that we say sound so foreign to the ears of American Christians, or so-called Christians, and thank God for that. But this is what it says, The Shepherd of Hermas, chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Blessed are you who endure the great tribulation which is coming, and who will not deny their life. You know, they didn't hear, oh boy, over here or in the air, we're out of there, don't worry. That don't matter about that, we're not going to be here. They heard, blessed are you who endure the great tribulation which is coming, and who will not deny their life. For the Lord has sworn by His Son that they who deny their Lord have been rejected from their life. This was the echo of each and every one of the apostles and the saints from the second century to confess the Lord in martyrdom was salvation and the martyr's crown. To deny the Lord was eternal damnation. Now, in the Word of God, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, and look at your neighbor and say, we're in a fight here. You know, we're in a fight here. We are fighting for the faith that was once delivered in the saints. This morning, we are asking you, the listeners, to disregard this satanic apostate slop that is poured out in buckets full, and to get back to what the Word of God says and what the early church, the real church, stood for. And if we do this, we are going to have the same dynamic results that those in the first century did, when the Lord truly added daily unto the church those that should be saved. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We got to fight that fight of faith, that our faith stays in the cross, in the real Jesus, what He said. And that confession of Jesus is Lord stays real in our hearts. And that's what we are all about. We are the body of Christ that will maintain our profession unto the end, no matter what happens. And if your faith is not in that, it is not what it's going to take. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. If you love your life more than you love Jesus, you won't give it up. You'll deny Him. Let's read it again. Revelation 12:11, chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, I want to read 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, and then we're going to hear another witness. This man is one of the writers of the 3rd century. His name is Tertullian, and we want to hear his comments this morning on 1 John chapter 4, 18. The Scripture says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And it's scary anybody that says there's not fear in the prospect of being tortured or died, they're just lying. There's fear there. And the only thing that will cast that fear out of our hearts is the perfect love. The love that we have for the Lord and the love that we understand that He has for us. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And as we stand in these times and we see these horrific things, just yesterday, it was on the news, 21 Christians in cages being let out to be burned alive. We can drive fear from our hearts by allowing the Holy Spirit to make real our love for the Lord and His love for us in a greater way. And indeed, now is the time that we must do that. Now, I want to read from another witness from the 3rd century. His name is Tertullian, and I want you to hear his comments on this scripture of 1 John chapter 4:18. This is what he said. There is no fear, says he, in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear has torment, the lake of fire, no doubt. He that feareth is not perfect in love, to wit, the love of God. And yet, who will flee from persecution but he who fears? Who will fear but he who is not loved? Yes, and if you ask counsel of the Spirit, what does He approve more than that utterance of the Spirit? For indeed, it incites all, almost, to go on and offer themselves in martyrdom, not to flee from it, so that we also make mention of it. If you are exposed to public infamy, says he, it is for your good. For he who is not exposed to dishonor among men is sure to be so before the Lord. Do not be ashamed. Righteousness brings you forth into the public gaze. Why should you be ashamed of gaining glory? The opportunity is given you when you are before the eyes of men. So also elsewhere, seek not to die on bridal beds, nor in miscarriages, nor in soft fevers, but to die the martyr's death, that he may be glorified who has suffered for you. Now, I'm not trying to be morbid this morning, and neither was he. I'm trying to be realistic. This is a reality that we will have to deal with before we're out of here. And it's time that we arm ourselves with the true confession and the true faith of the saints. And like Tertullian said, you know, I mean, we're all going to die, right? And would you rather die of a heart attack or cancer? Or would you rather die a martyr, leaving your confession ringing in the ears of those that put you to death? I would much rather die a martyr. What would you rather have, car accident or martyrdom? We're all going to die. And this is what Tertullian is saying. Don't seek to die of a fever, some soft death, or this or that or the other. But let's play the man. Let's be willing, and let's understand now that if need be, we will die a martyr, and we will leave our confession ringing in the ears of those that put us to death. Now, many things we do here on FOJC Radio Church sound strange to the ears of modern Christians, and I want to read, I want to do one of those right now. I want to read from the book of 1st Enoch. The book of 1st Enoch was written about 100 B.C. It's an amazing book. It is not scripture, but it is one amazing book. And in 1st Enoch chapter 41, Enoch has a vision of what happens to those that deny the Lord. And this over and over, the book of Enoch, when you have something that is just a dynamic truth, Enoch's got it. And let's read, or, well, you probably don't have it, but I want to read for you from the 41st chapter of 1st Enoch. It says, "And after that I saw all the secrets in heaven and how a kingdom breaks up." That's what we're going to see. We're going to see how a kingdom breaks up real quick. "And how the actions of the people are weighed in the balance. And there I saw the dwelling place of the sinners and the company of the holy ones. And my eyes saw the sinners, those who deny the name of the Lord of the spirits, being expelled from there and being dragged off, and they could not stand still because of the plague which proceeds from the Lord of the spirits." That's what awaits those that deny the Lord. And in the 14th chapter, or I mean, excuse me, in the 14th verse of the Epistle of Jude, our Lord's half-brother quotes the book of Enoch. And I want to read the 14th verse of the Epistle of Jude. It says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." And what is neat? Well, there's many neat things about Tertullian, but Tertullian writes an entire chapter of why he believes that the book of Enoch is scripture. And I want to read just a little bit of it for you. Now, I don't believe that understanding what we understand about Bible preservation, that we can hold that the book of Enoch is scripture, but that does not mean that the book of Enoch is not important. And in the first, second, and third centuries, well, in the first century, my goodness, the Lord's half-brother quoted it and put it in the Word of God. The Holy Ghost put it in there. And this is what Tertullian said. He said, "I am aware that the scripture of Enoch," he called it the scripture of Enoch, "which has assigned this order to angels, is not received by some because it is not admitted into the Jewish canon either. I suppose they did not think that having been published before the deluge, it could have safely survived that worldwide calamity, the abolisher of all things. If that is the reason for rejecting it, let them recall to their memory that Noah, the survivor of the deluge, was the great-grandson of Enoch himself." Well, you don't believe Enoch, or that Noah could have took it on the boat? Well, he was the great-grandson of the man that wrote the book. And Tertullian said, well, yeah, Noah would have wanted to bring his great-grandfather's book with him. So while the things we say this morning sound strange to the ears of American churchgoers, and thank God for it, they would not sound at all out of place in the first, second, and third century church. Now, I want to read from my old friend Irenaeus. I've referred to him several times in the past. And Irenaeus was one of the apostles of the second century. He was taught by Polycarp, who was taught by the Apostle John. And I've related before how that Irenaeus went to Ephesus to personally talk with men and women that they were up in years, but they had actually known the Apostle John personally. And Irenaeus tells a story. This is in volume 1 of the Antonicene Fathers, page 416. And Irenaeus tells this story about the Apostle John. And this, again, sounds so strange to little American Christians. But he says this, "There are those also who heard from him that John, the disciple of the Lord, going to bathe at Ephesus, and perceiving Cerinthesis within," Cerinthesis was a early Gnostic teacher, "rushed out of the bathhouse without bathing, exclaiming, 'Let us fly, lest even the bathhouse fall down, because Cerinthius, the enemy of truth, is within.' John did not even want to stay in the same place that Cerinthius was." That's the way I feel about Charles Stanley. I don't even want to breathe the same air that man breathes, because he's the rankest of heretics, perverting the doctrine of Christ, And the same for John MacArthur. How could anyone be more a minister of Satan than to actually be teaching in this time that you can take the mark and not lose your soul? It's time for the confession of Christianity to be regained. It goes on to say here, it says, "And Polycarp himself replied to Marcion, who met him on one occasion and said, 'Dost thou know me? I do know thee, the firstborn of Satan.' Such was the horror which the apostles and their disciples had against holding even verbal communication with any corruptors of the truth." And, you know, today people will say, "I'm saved," and they think, well, that's all, you know, that's it. I can go down to IHOP and get the pancake special. I don't have to worry about that anymore. And then they join a church that promises them, well, we are not going to talk about anything unpleasant. We promise you that we're not going to be controversial. We're just going to speak about nice things. Well, this is nice, because being saved and going to heaven for eternity with the Lord is a nice thing. Spending eternity in the lake of fire, like the vision that Enoch had of those that deny the Lord, they can't even stand still because of the plague that's being poured out from them to the presence of the Lord. The Word of God says, we are, and here at FOJC Radio Church, we are a separated people. We believe in coming out from that apostasy. I don't even want to suck the same air down my lungs that these heretics breathe, let alone go into this apostate mess and play patty cake down at their little whore barns. The Word of God says, 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, not that apostate whore barn." You, we're the temple. We have the confession. "For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will accept you." And we are running out of time here, and I'm going to try to calm down and close here. I'm about to go into orbit this morning. And I want to say, do we have a little more time, Donna? Sister Donna says we got a little more time. Well, there's a couple more things I'd love to share, so thank you, Sister Donna. Let's go to Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. And I want to say, too, that next week we will be celebrating the Passover and taking the Lord's Supper together next week. So you get ready for that. Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Let's hear the doctrine of Christ. "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of God." And I want to read again from the book of the Shepherd of Hermas, chapter 23, and I want you to hear this second century book. "You have escaped a great tribulation because of your faith, and because when you saw so great a beast, you did not become double-minded." Let's hear that again. And this is the emphasis here in the book called The Shepherd of Hermas, that, and in this book, he saw a vision of this huge beast coming at him, like it was going to kill him, but the beast couldn't hurt him because of his faith in the Lord. And "you have escaped a great tribulation because of your faith, and because when you saw so great a beast, you did not become double-minded. We're going to see some things, and I believe we're going to see some things real soon. And when we see them, we need to remember, don't become double-minded. We keep our faith in the cross, faith in the Lord. We keep our confession with our mouth. He goes on to say, if then you prepare yourselves in advance and repent with all your heart before the Lord, you will be able to escape it. If your heart becomes pure and blameless, and you serve the Lord blamelessly the rest of your life. Now let's hear that again. That's worthy of listening to again. This is what it says from the Shepherd of Hermas, written about the same time as the book of Revelation. If then you prepare yourselves in advance and repent with all your heart before the Lord, you will be able to escape it. And you can't say it any better than that. And that's what we've been saying over and over and over. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Now is the time to prepare, because the time is soon coming when you will not be able to. Hebrews 11 and 7. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. It talks about a person that believed in preparing. And it was good old brother Noah. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And I want to read again from Tertullian. And this is from the fourth volume of the Apostolic Fathers on page 116. And I want to read the words again from this great saint. And this is what he says. And he talks about the separation of the tares and the wheat. And this is what he said. He says, this is that fan which even now cleanses the Lord's threshing floor, the church, I mean, winnowing the heap of believers and separating the grain of the martyrs from the chaff of the deniers. Hear that again. Separating the grain of the martyrs from the chaff of the deniers. And that's the way they looked at it, each and every one. You were either a martyr or you were either a denier. You either confessed the Lord or you denied him, either unto salvation or the loss of your soul. And this is what he said about persecution. Tertullian said, and when is trust in God more strong than when there is a greater fear of him and when persecution breaks out? The church is awestruck. Then is faith more zealous in preparation and better disciplined in fasts and meetings and prayers and lowliness, in brotherly kindness and love, in holiness and temperance. And truly now, we are on the very verge of persecution breaking out, and there should never be a time when we should love and appreciate one another more. There should never be a time when we're more zealous in prayer, more zealous in the Word of God, more zealous in preparation. When the shoe drops, you're not going to be able to get the things you need. Now's the time to do the common sense things you need to do on food and water and medical and whatever else the Lord needs you to do. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, there's something we, and so many things that we really need to understand. But one thing we really need to understand is that the Lord will help us if it would be that you or I would have to face this, and it's hard for me to believe that either myself, and here again, I am going to be a witness as long as I can be. And I'm not, God didn't call me to shut up, He called me to stand up. And if it should be that any of us would die the martyr's death or have to face it, we can understand that the Lord will help it. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in My infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon Me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And I am going to close this morning with the words from the martyrdom of Polycarp that describes how these first and second and third century Christians died. It says, "They endured being shredded with whips until the fabric of their flesh could be seen down to the veins and arteries within, so that even the bystanders felt pity and wept. But they themselves displayed such nobility that none of them muttered or groaned, showing us all that the most noble martyrs of Christ in that hour under torture were absent from the flesh. They were in the third heaven. They were in the throne of God, folks. They were absent from the flesh, or rather that the Lord was at hand and was conversing with them, and with their mind fixed on the grace of Christ, they despised the tortures of this world, purchasing at the cost of 1 hour eternal life. And with their eyes of their heart, they gazed upon the good things reserved for those who have endured." Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. We thank You for one another this morning. Lord, we thank You for the martyrs that died, that gave us such a rich heritage. We thank You that we know that if we maintain the belief in our heart and the confession with our mouth, that You will enable us to do anything that we need to do. So, Father, we just praise Your holy name this morning, and we just pray that an anointing of courage and strength upon us all, that we can play the man and that we can play the woman and keep our confession unto the end, and that, Lord, we help the body of Christ to regain that lost confession that they can endure unto the end. And we give You all the praise for everything good that happens. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Be ready next week to celebrate the Passover and take the Lord's Supper together. We'll see you then. God bless you all.
Thank you for being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com. Or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless.
You're listening to the all-new KBOU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.feebly.com. at www.1blueraven.com.